If I had to start over and relive my life, there's nothing that I'd like to change. I've started with Jesus, and with Him I'll stand, and I'd do it all over again.
And I'd
do it all over again. I'd walk on with Jesus till my journey's end. I'd never give up living for what the world's giving. I'd do it all over again. This life's had its heartaches, and I've had my share, but never too much to give in. And you ask me if trials are worth all the pain, and I'd do it all over again.
And I'd do it all over
again. I'd walk on with Jesus till my journey's end. I'd never give up living for what the world's giving. I'd do it all over again.
His love. Good morning. Let's stay in Romans again today. I'm kind of feasting on Romans, and it's got so much richness in it. Talking about your mother. My mother died in 85, and I don't know, it just seems like it was yesterday in so many ways. There's some people that are just irreplaceable, and so we don't give up in that sense until we see them again, and that's coming. So that's what me and you're thinking about. We're going home, and so it's a wonderful thing. You know, today what I want to talk about is in Romans chapter 1. It's a very serious text. This is one of the most serious texts in the Bible. But it's also very informative, and I think the church needs to stay informed on the condition that the world is in. We're going to talk about that today. I'm going to read some verses at the latter part of Romans that's just, I mean, you could lay it over our world, and this is where we are. And so that's not a good thing. And as I was driving over here today, and it's such a beautiful drive for us to come this way. We have to pass the lakes. We get to go by a couple of times on causeways, and it's just a beautiful world. And I think sometimes, how do we ever just get used to it? You know? I mean, it's amazing the way that God made this world and how the things work, and everything works on a schedule. Everything works on time. And he made it so beautiful. It's pleasing to the sight to look at the things that God has made. The only thing that kind of messes it up is mostly what we've added to it since then as far as buildings and things. But man, the world is beautiful, and God made it that way. And then I wonder, how could it get to where it's at now as far as people are concerned? How could we have come to the state that we find ourselves in? And we're going to talk about that today. And so I think first what I want to do is read and just kind of give you, you're talking about a newspaper, you know. The Bible doesn't have to be updated, because it's updated, and it's genius, it's God. And so God tells us how things are going to be, and then he tells us how they got that way, and the church needs to understand that. And that's the way that we can keep ourselves in the world but not of it. And so that's very important today. And I think about the challenge that our school children have, and and the challenges that are being placed before them to conform and to go ahead and be like society wants to be. But God never gives us that permission. He never gives us a permission to go the way of society. I don't care if it's comfortable. I don't care what pretense is given to make it seem okay to go that way. It's not. And we have to hold firm to the Word of God, or there's going to be slippage. There's going to be gray areas that become more occupied, and we don't need to occupy them. And so God gives a clear direction on how the world is going to get. It's certainly not what God wanted for us. It's certainly not what God intended. And when you start reading about God repent in the Bible, and we're going to hear some of that today in different verses, and it's a grieving thing. That's the right proper pronunciation for that in what it's meaning about God is that it grieved God that man was like we are, that he didn't make us this way, but that we chose this way. And I just somehow, when you get to thinking about grieving God, it ought to be something so far away from what we want to do, but so often we do. And so today I want to talk about that. But first, we're going to give you a picture and a backdrop of what's going on right outside the doors of Eddie Baptist Church. It's not New York City. It's not Chicago. It's not just in Boston or Los Angeles or San Francisco even. But it's all around. It's darkness that you can almost feel. And so we need to be on alert. And today that's what this sermon is going to be about, to help us to understand some things, but also to raise our level of alertness. You know, when war is being threatened, they start raising the level of alertness, and then, you know, and they talk about the doomsday clock right now, and I don't think it's even 5 minutes, maybe not even 1 minute till midnight on how they see the world can't go much further. And so everything is telling us nothing more than this. So let's look at our world today. And I'm going to start reading in verse 22, and then in a little bit we're going to go back some earlier verses and we're going to talk about how it got this way. The Bible says that ultimately man professing themselves to be wise, I'm starting now in Romans 1, verse 22. Man thinks that the state we are in has been arrived at through wisdom. And they're propagating this everywhere, that we're enlightened today. We're wise to the things of the world, and so we want to become more inclusive. And those are the excuse words they use to let man go further to be degraded. But they're making it seem like that this is us finally coming to our best self. We're finally coming to just letting everything in. And they're painting this as wisdom, okay? But let's look at how the Bible says it is. Professing themselves to be wise, what did they become? Fools. And the fool word is not used lightly in the Word of God. God cautions about using that word. But there is no stronger word than that. And that's what the Bible says they've become. And they changed the glory. Now I want you to get that. The world is changing God. Or at least their perspective of what they want Him to be. And the Bible says they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like a corruptible man. And so if you want idolatry to its apex, then they're changing God into being in our image, not us in His. And so they have changed the incorruptible God so that He looks to those that they proclaim this gospel to, that God is more like man at his carnal worst. Now, I want to tell you something. You want to talk about blasphemy? You want to talk about first-degree sin? Then man is not satisfied with just doing sin. but he wants it to be commissioned from God. He wants it to be so that God himself has given approval to where we stand today, and there is nothing further from the truth than that. But that's the wisdom of man. You know, that's how man is calling this. And so the Bible says they've made the image of God into corruptible man, and even birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. They bring God down to the lowest level of the creepiest things on earth and say, when you look at this, then you're seeing the best of God. Now, if you think that's not out there, but now let's see what's going to happen. And I want you to see this, because this is going on outside our doors. It's going on at our school and our jobs and our government. And it's terrible, and we got to let it be terrible. We got to understand that. Okay, so not only did they do that, but I want you to listen to this, and this is some of the saddest words in the Bible. When God gave them up, or when God turned them over, and both of those words in what we're going to read today, you don't want God doing that. But I'm telling you, when we talk about the desires of the heart, you know, then we think usually about good things. And, you know, and it talks about how, you know, if you love God and put him first and all those things, he'll give you the desires of his heart or your heart, and he will. But also, if you continue in sin, and especially if you promote it as if God is right in there with you on how you're doing it, then God turns you over to your desire of your heart in that sense too. And so that's the scary part. The worst thing can happen to man is that God lets us be man to the fullest degree. And so listen to what I'm going to read you now. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. And so here is man. I'm going to do what I want. I'm going to do when I want. I'm going to do it like I want. And anybody that tries to stop me, then we're going to mow them down. And even God himself is not going to be able to do that. It kind of reminds me of when they said even God can't sink the Titanic. You know, that was some of the feelings they had about that great ship that had double bottoms and all these things that made it impossible in the eyes of man for it to sink, and then it sunk. And so that's the way it is. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man. Boy, we've got this now, you know, we've got this thing really going about what's right in the eyes of man. But what is the end of it? What does the Bible say? That there is a way that seemeth right to a man, but we know what the end is. It's bad. It's death itself. And so let's look on now. It says, God gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Man, even right in the middle of all this horror, it's still letting us know that God is the same. God hadn't changed. God is good. God has nothing. There's no guile in him. But there's guile everywhere in this world. And so it should grieve the heart of a Christian. It not only grieves the heart of God, it should grieve us. That, you know, the grieving part is what keeps you from wanting to be judgmental on people that have done what we're going to read about. Is because we can't. Because it's us. And so, let's read on. For this God gave them up to vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense, the compensation. You know, there's wages for sin. Did you understand that? And the primary wage of sin is death. But that's what it's saying, that there's a compensation that goes with it. When we hear the thou shall nots of God, it's not because he's trying to keep us away from stuff that's good. It's because he's given us a barrier on things that will destroy us. It's the love of God that puts the barriers there. It's not restriction. And that's what gets me so much. They're trying to take away that the restrictions are bad. And no, they're not. The restrictions are safety bars. They're barriers to keep us from destroying ourselves. That's it. And so why can't we see then that, you know, I put a funny thing in the thing, and I guess it's kind of come to my mind about, you know, two preachers that was out there, and they were from Louisiana in a Cajun area, and one of them pastored on one side of the road, one of them pastored on the other, and they were out there putting a sign in the yard out there but beside the churches where the road pastors could see it, and it said something about, you know, turn around before it too late, you know, there's danger and all that. So they thought, so this guy goes by, and he's just cruising, man, and he's out there, he hollers, "You religious nuts," you know, and he keeps going. And then in just about a half a minute, you hear screeching brakes and a big splash when this man went off because the bridge was out. And those two preachers looked at each other and said, "Maybe we just should have said the bridge is out." You know? The bridge is out. Spiritually, the bridge is out. And the churches were given the warning, but they're not slowing down. That doesn't prevent us, and it doesn't hinder us from giving the message. That's what I'm trying to do today. The bridge is out on the world, and there's a gulf. And we're trying to say, you know, but look at this when it says that men working that which is unseemly and receiving themselves a recompense of their error which was met. And even when they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. Boy, I'm talking about how we got here. This is how we're getting here. They didn't want to retain, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, a condemned mind, the desire of their heart. And so, I don't know how you can word this any way except to say that God made man upright, but we sought out many inventions. And why did we seek them out? Because I guess you could go back to the garden, where the serpent was saying that God is holding out on you, that He knows that if you do and become like him, then you're going to know so much more than you know now. And so God is holding out on you. And so that was the temptation, one of them is. And then they started looking and thought, man, that fruit looks good. And it's desired. And not only that, but it'll make you wise if you consume it. And boy, do we ever want to be God. And that's what's wrong with the world today. Man wants to be God. And man has decided he's going to be his own God, and there's nothing that's going to stop him on his voyage to being God. And God is saying, is that what you really want? Is that how you really want it? Is that what you really want? And the world is saying yes and more and more and more. And so let's see what goes on. Okay, so God gave him over to a reprobate mind, to do those things which are not convenient, which means not suitable. And so you're saying, you know, what? Yes. God wants you to make a strong choice. He wants you to choose him with everything that you've got. And he also warns you what happens if you don't. It's a clear thing. And so we'll read on. So then being filled with unrighteousness. Now this is our picture of the world. Look at this photograph. Being filled with unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers. You know, sometimes we don't think about that being a real bad sin. But if you look in Proverbs, there's seven things that God hates, and the last one is those that sow discord among the brethren. Did you know that? We don't think about that like homosexuality. We don't think about that like a lot of things. But God says one of the things I hate is sowing discord. And right here it's talking about whispering and backbiting and those kind of things. And so that's why I say just about the time we get ready to condemn the worst of the worst, we find out that we're breaking those things that God hates too much in our own life. And so he goes on to say then, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. We're getting into the Ten Commandments. And without understanding, there is no understanding. It's just, it's amazing. The church looks through a glass darkly, but the world looks through darkness. There's a big difference. Without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable. And I had to look that word up. Unrelenting is implacable. Unrelenting. They're going after the things of the flesh and the things of the world, and they're doing it unrelenting. They're just, just try to get in their way is what they're saying. You know, boy, some of the chants they gave on one of those parades lately of ungodliness was something about we're coming for your children because we want them to be like us too. It's brazen. It's implacable. It's unrelenting. And let's don't forget that our enemy is not flesh and blood, but our enemy is serious. And he uses flesh and blood for his work. And so it goes on to say, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. Now listen to this. They know some things. I think sometimes we think the poor old world don't know. Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Wow. Boy, that, you know, some people think the Ten Commandments was more strict than what God did with the two commandments of love God and love your neighbor as yourself. But I'm telling you, we're under a much greater situation now. And so he's saying right here that there's some that say, I don't do that. But I sure do like to watch them do it. I don't want to participate in an actuality, but I want to participate as an audience that enjoys the production. And God, listen to that, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. And so it becomes a festival. It becomes a parade. It becomes a celebration. And they want us to embrace it and enhance it. And they want the whole world to sing that song. And that's where we're at. Now let's go back in a little bit earlier in Romans and talk about how we talked about it some, but how we get here. Okay? How we get here. And let's go back then. I like 16. It's not in the verses that I'm really going to study on, but I ain't going to miss it. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. This is verse 16 of chapter 1. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why? For it is the power of God unto salvation. Well, that's that. Now we're getting into overcoming. Now we're getting into what moves, what overcomes, what wins. And so the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Now then, poor old lost world don't know nothing. They know too much. It's not that they don't know. It's that they don't know with implacability. They don't know in a relentless manner that even though I know this is not what God wants me to do, I'm going to do it with everything I've got until the world conforms and God Himself looks down and says, it's okay. Whew. Worse off than we thought. Wherein the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. You know, how do we reveal it? You know, man, it was revealed this morning in song. You know, man, you know, blessed assurance of what this dear lady sang over here, and faith unto faith. And if we get that going, if we leave here, it's like, you know, man, I know the gates of hell are not going to be able to prevail against us because we're in the Spirit of God. We believe in God to the uttermost. We believe that God can do anything but fail and that God is soon coming and we better get ready. And then the church is, whoo, yeah, the gates of hell can't prevail against that. faith unto faith. And so we read on. And it says, God revealed from faith to faith, as it's written, the just shall live by faith. We're not living carnal. We're not living and being promoted by the things of the world. We're being promoted by faith in God and the risen Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know that He's more than a conqueror. And through Him, we are more than conquerors. So, you know, I don't want to paint this picture of the world without also painting that there's something stronger. There's something more powerful. And there's something that's going to win and is winning right in the middle of it. You know, while all this is going on, there's some revivals are going on that can't be put out. They're baptizing them big numbers in places you don't think about it. And so right in the middle of this horribleness where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. I love it. We're not serving some weak, something others, you know, kind of fainting out. I'm not saying people ain't going to drop off. The Bible talks about it's not going to end until there's a great falling away. And so some of the things that we're seeing are to get our attention. I'm going to go back now in time a little bit and talk about that this is not the first time we've been this way. And if you go back to Genesis and you think about how the world got corrupted in that first couple of thousand years after man come along, then this is where you first hear that God repented. He was grieved that He made man. Do you know why? Because the Bible says in Genesis chapter 6 that man's mind was on evil continually. They were studying evil. It was how to do something evil. How to do it more and more and more. And God said, enough. And the flood came and covered everything 15 cubits. And God just washed a lot of it away. He saved those that were in the ark, but He washed the rest of it away. And then for about 2,000 years then, we had the momentum of the flesh again to get going again. And it got so bad that God shut heaven up for 400 years. And there's basically 400 years between Malachi and Matthew when there was a silence as far as a spiritual opening or anointing or... Man. And they were longing for some... They were longing for a Messiah to come. Rome and all these other things were marching strong and they're in charge and nobody's going to be able to stop them. They're going to take over the whole wide world with their Roman road. And God said, okay. And then a virgin conceived named Mary. And the darling Savior of the world came through the virgin womb. And then God revealed Himself to the highest degree. You know, because I keep saying, where is God? Is there a certainty there's God in all this? And if you want to know the certainty of God, look at Jesus. If you want to see God, look at Jesus. He is God. And so after that, then we had the Pentecost. We had 3,000 souls getting saved, or 3,000 men getting saved in one day, not counting women and children. There was a boom. There was something. Never a man spake like Him. But now we've had 2,000 years or more since that. And there's another enough coming. And we're living in it. So let's close out with this. For therein is righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Faith overcomes. You can't even please God without it. But if you believe in God, and that faith pleases God, and it's counted and it's imputed to you for righteousness. Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. God sees faith as righteousness. It's His faith. And He can look at it any way He wants to, and He can impute any way He wants to. And so if you have faith in God, the believing of your soul, He'll impute righteousness to you, not yours, but His. And you will be righteous in His sight, and you will be His child, and He will be your God. And thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's what we want as a church. Okay. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven in verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. So don't tell me the world don't know better. They're going to try to sell you on that. They're going to even try to sell you that there is no better. But they know. And this is, you know, I was thinking about it. This might be the title of the day. I'm trying to think in that light. Do you know how that they know? Because God has introduced himself to every creature. God has introduced himself. Let's read that. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. Now what this is building up to is that God has revealed himself in such a way that man will be inexcusable, that man will be absolutely without excuse when he stands before God and tries to say, I never knew. And what's going to be bad for him is when he finds out that God never knew him. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you, but you knew better. I made sure that you knew better. God is not unrighteous. God is not unjust. God is the most just, the most merciful, the most compassionate, the most forgiving that there is. And so he fixes it so that nobody and no one can ever stand in his presence and say, I didn't know better. He says right here, because that which may be known of God is manifest. I saw it. I saw how God introduced himself on the way to church today. I don't know how we get used to the creation. I don't know how we get used to the miracle of the sky and the ocean and the wonders of God. I don't know how we ever get used to that. And so God is saying, I reveal myself in creation. I made it so that there is no possible way that anybody with any rational sense can believe this just happened on its own. It's impossible. I heard a man say one time, it'd be like going into the deepest remote jungle in the world and finding a Rolex watch, one of them natives or whoever, and somebody said, oh, that just popped up out of the ground. What? Popped up out of the ground? That thing is perfect timing. I mean, that thing goes around one time, it's a minute. The whole thing goes around and it's an hour. And you're telling me it just happened on its own? No. Something with intelligence made that Rolex watch. And something with much more intelligence made this world. Wow. And so he's saying, I introduced myself that way. How are you going to, have you considered the heavens? Have you considered how I hung stuff with no strings? I hung stuff with no ropes, no cords. You know, I just told the stars, stay up there, and they did. I told the moon, stay. Sun, stay. Galaxies, stay. The universe, stay. And you know what it did? It stayed. And so we're talking about a creator who is so much higher than somebody making a Rolex watch, but yet we find it easier to believe that the watch couldn't have been an accident, but we think the world was? I heard somebody say one time, I just ain't got enough faith to believe that. And you know what else you're believing if you believe the world just happened? You're believing that we got order from chaos, and it never happens. I tell you how you can tell. Get a house about 2,000 square feet and put some TNT into it and let it go off. And just see the order that comes from that. Ain't going to be no order. It's going to be chaos. And so you don't get order from chaos. We had order and we have made the chaos ourselves. But order was from God. Order, this beautiful, magnificent, that we can breathe air, we can live and move and drive these cars and move around and go to the moon. And man, oh, it's such a simple thing to believe in God. It's impossible to believe the other. And so, oh, let's go on. I'm trying. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. And listen to this. For the invisible things of Him, the invisible things of God, from the creation of the world, are clearly seen, being understood by things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. God revealing Himself? You know, there's a bunch of them. Jesus was the revelation. Holy Spirit coming on there. Pentecost was the revelation of God. And so He says right here that even His eternal power and Godhead, He didn't do this thing in a corner. And so they are without excuse. That's what all this comes down to. When we go out the doors of any Baptist church, we're going to see a lot of stuff. You school children, listen up, because in your schools, they're really pushing, maybe not the teacher so much, but the students themselves, that this is the way to go. This is the new trend. This is the way to be popular. This is the way to be on the cutting edge of the new world order or whatever. Don't believe it for a second. It is death wrapped in some kind of covering. That's what drugs are. That's what alcohol is. That's what all this junk is. They try to dress it up and make it look happy and gaiety and everything, but in reality, it's going to drive you to death, and I've witnessed it firsthand. Okay? The best thing to do about drugs is never start, ever. Not even the first time, because sometimes one time is one time too many, and we can't afford to be wrong when God is making Himself so clear. And so, let's finish up. Because when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. They knew better. But instead of glorifying God, we're glorifying man. That's where we are today. So if you want to see the difference then, and that's the reason in the church it's so important, and I talked about that kind of every time I get a chance, is that the reason we are here is to glorify and lift up God. Everything else comes from that. Even salvation comes from that. If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. And so our main priority is to glorify and lift up the name of Jesus and God and exalt Him with everything that we have, with all, not just doing it, but believing it with everything we've got. Because when they knew God, and they did, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful. You want to talk about a bad sin? Ingratitude towards God is horrible. It's a grieving thing. And if there's anything this world is, it's unthankful. We're just unthankful. God gave us what He gave us, and we're just unthankful, and we're spewing it out of our mouth at it. And we're expecting Him to learn to love it. And I'm going to tell you what's happening with God. The wrath is building. Oh, it's building, y'all. And I'm sorry. That's what breaks my heart for people that's lost. Is the wrath is building because we're not grateful and we're not righteous or wanting to be because of all that God has done for us. It leaves us without excuse. And I'm closing. It's a sad sermon. Oh, but it's a true sermon. I was thinking last night when I wrestled with these sermons through the week, and I couldn't hardly do anything last night but repent. Repent. Because even though I can see all this wickedness in the world and it's fermented, so to speak, I'm reminded what I did to Him. What I do to Him and grieve Him. It grieves my heart, and I grieve God, and I don't want to. And so, when I start looking at sinners, let us look in the mirror. And when we think about lost people, when we think about the most perverted sin that there is, we don't give in to it one inkling, but we've got to want them saved. We've got to want them to know God, because we've got to pray for them, because somebody did us when we were unthankful and unholy. And so I don't want to preach this sermon so we can point our fingers at everything. I want us to understand what it is. I want to understand how it got there. But God says, I have a better way. I have a more perfect way. I have better sacrifices. I have better promises. I have a greater inheritance. And God is saying, right in the middle of all of this, I want you to look to me. Closing. Something jumped in my mind. Closing. Y'all be thinking about a song. One time, the ship that I'm going to be talking about was in perilous seas. Winds were high, waves were rough, and some of the rogue waves were big enough to almost capsize this thing. And people were alarmed. But there was one woman in particular that was scared out of her mind. And so she was trying to get assurance from anybody and everyone that she could, and no one was giving her assurance. And so finally people got so tired of hearing it, they said, ma'am, you know, we're just going to tell you to go up to the nest where the captain is and ask him yourself. And so she said, okay, maybe the captain can help me. So she heads out, climbs up there to the crow's nest, so to speak, not the crow's nest, but the bridge. And she talks to the captain and she says, Captain, look at what's going on. And she said, are we going to make it? And I'm saying this to Christians today who are looking around and saying, you know, with all that's going on, are we going to make it? And the captain was kind of not amused by the question. It was underrating his command ship, so to speak, and his ability to admiral the thing. And so he said, ma'am, I'm going to answer you like this. He brought over to one side of the ship and said, I want you to look over here on this side. He said, this ship's been through so many voyages. It's been patched up so many times. He said, this is an old ship. And he said, if one of those patches give way, this ship is going down. And then he said, come on over here. He said, check out them boilers, four or five of them, red hot. And he said, ma'am, if one of them things goes off, we're going up. But he said, until one or the other of those things happen, ma'am, we're going on. And so to me, that's a picture of the old ship of Zion, so to speak. The big ships don't pass this way anymore. And some say there's no use for it even hanging around. And I think about the body. Mine's been patched some of yours has too. And sometimes we've had bypasses and tri-passes and a little bit of everything, and one day one of them old patches is going to give way. One day my heart ain't going to be able to keep up. My legs already can't. But someday my heart's not going to keep up. I'm not going to be able to, my body is not going to keep up. And when it does, or there could be a shout, the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ rise, and then we, you know, shed this veil of tears and we rise up to meet him in the air in the rapture, and so shall we ever be of the Lord. And that's going to be good too. But until one of those happen, the church of God, the church of Eddie Baptist Church, the church of the living God is simply going to go on. We're going to go through the world. We're going to go through the world with our voices raised. We're going to go through the world with the gospel of salvation. We're going to lift up Jesus, because it's easy, really, because there's none like him. And nobody can do what he has done, and nobody does what he's doing, and surely nobody's going to do what he's about to do. And so lift up your heads, you know, right in the middle of it, right in the middle of it, and say, my God reigns, my God lives. I was standing on the banks of the river, old voice about gone, looking out over life's troubled sea, when I saw an old ship that was sailing. Is that the old ship of Zion I see? Its hull was bent and battered. From the storms of life I could see. Waves were rough, but that old ship was steady. Is that the old ship of Zion I see? Stand together with me. Somebody might want to pray right now. Let's stand together. At the stern of the ship was the captain. I could hear as he called out my name. Get on board. It's the old ship of Zion. It may never pass this way again. As I step on board, I'll be leaving all my heartaches and trial behind. I'll be safe with Jesus the captain, sailing out on the ocean of Zion. Praise God. That's what we've got. That's what our task is. Go out in the world tomorrow. This is the huddle. We're going to break from this huddle and go out to the line of scrimmage and try to let people see the work of God and glorify our Father, which is in heaven. There's been some talk about a Wednesday night service, and I've been the one talking about it mostly. And I'm still wondering if that's what we ought to do. I know it. God wants